I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of this Patreon preview of Top 5 with Dave Thornton to let you know about the shows I'm doing at the Brisbane Comedy Festival, July 31st, August 1st, in the afternoons, and you can come and see the show, go get some dinner, then go and see some other shows as part of the Comedy Festival up there. So make sure you go to joshell.com.au for some tickets to see both shows, or just see one, whatever you can. I'd love to see you there. Also, if you're in Melbourne, there are only six tickets left for the birthday show, so get in very quick. Hey, and if you like what you hear on this episode, hear the full thing. Go to patreon.com/dykwia for $4.50 a month. You can get free episodes every week of Top 5. When I say free episodes, I've just said you got to pay $4.50 a month. But you get bonus episodes is what I should have said. Bonus, Josh. Anyway, enough jibber-jabber from me. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Top 5, the patron-only podcast where I, Josh L, sit down with a good buddy and we discuss the Top 5 of a topic of our choice. And this week, return guest, fan favourites, Dave Thornton. Hey!
Yes. It's always nice about getting a second invite to a podcast.
Yeah.
Something alarming when you don't get the second invite.
I know. That someone does they do pod stats online and they do a whole thing like, this person took this many weeks before they were invited back. I'm like, don't say it like that. Like, I've probably invited them back, but they were too busy. Like, don't be like, oh yeah, I took 2 years before I invited them back. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like it that they've put the podcast in the area of we could snub people.
Yeah.
But I know after having podcasts that weren't even as close to successful as yours, that quite often you're like, please.
Yeah.
And people go, oh no, I'm getting paid for something.
Well, that's my thing when I didn't used to put out who was on because I'm like, well, they'll pull out do a paid gig or an actual stand-up gig, something that they know I can go in there. I don't have to think about being on my feet and like sending through stories. I have too much work for mine for other people. Everyone's like, oh, so much work for you, Josh. I'm like, I have it easy. I just compile the stories. I've got like the guests have to fucking do the homework. Yeah. But we don't do that on this one. Oh, we do a bit of homework. But what we're doing today is we're counting down the top five quotes, our favorite quotes. I have a big list and I sent it out and you pick this one off the list. It's good.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I mean, it was funny because you also said, here's some ones. Some of them are really dumb, which yeah. I thought was really funny. And they were really dumb. And I thought we could go with some of these, but I thought, nah, it will just be then really stupid. But I thought quotes can still be stupid because
yeah.
I get annoying people quote people at dinner parties.
Yes.
But then you often, I'd thought, no, it usually leads, a quote makes me laugh or
yeah.
even if it is dumb enough.
Yeah. Are you one of these affirmations around the house? Like you have little things up around the house?
I think I used to in my 20s when I took myself seriously.
Yeah.
But now it's just things, like it'd just be things like, get more sleep.
Yeah.
Get someone to look after the kids.
A mutual friend of ours has had them up in his house and one of them was, be funnier. That was, yeah.
Can you imagine the partner? Don't.
I know.
It really annoys me.
Just turn it down a bit. All right. So what we're going to do, we are going to go through our favourite quotes. Now, I've chosen quite short ones, apart from the first one here, which is I'm going to read. This is the longest quote of mine. Okay, ooh. So this is from, do you know the Melbourne band The Lucksmiths?
Yes, I've heard of that name before, yeah. But it could have been from you.
Probably. So they were like around the Melbourne folk scene kind of in the 90s and early 2000s, and they disbanded. And then Tarly White was the lead singer and Mark Manone was the songwriter. But Daniel Kitson was possibly their biggest fan. He loved them.
Wow.
And so they asked him to write the liner notes for their EP, A Hiccup to My Happiness. And so this is one of my favourite ones. This is the longest one. So it's
which is a great title, Hiccup for My Happiness.
Yeah, they're really, you could tell he likes them because they're so well written. Like that's all okay. Like it's very clever. Almost you'd go, oh, you're like musical comedy if you just put like one or two jokes in these songs. That's what it was.
So clever wordplay.
Big influence to my early stuff. So this is Daniel Kitson. The world is too big for love to be real. There are too many people in the world to ever know, beyond everything, that you're with the right person, that your heart is as swollen as it can be. Think of all the people in China. It's unlikely anyone will ever meet all of them. How can we know for certain, for absolute certain, that trapped inside a foreign language and a thumping in a foreign heart, there isn't love that is meant for us? The infinite possibility of existence, its limitless potential, is the proof we need that love is nothing more than an imagination, a human folly, friendship swollen with self-importance, a final retreat from the storm of possibility. The love of our life could so easily have been someone else. It's random and accidental, haphazard and unsystematic. That which we feel for one person, clinging on to the delusion of destiny, could so easily be felt for a million people should the timing and the meetings and the mutual readiness have coalesced at some other time in some other place. Should someone else have accepted us or rejected us, then everything would have been different. And once we know this, we know that love is a lie. Not honesty, but deception. Not heroism, but cowardice. An unspoken agreement of mutual consolidation and compromise. A shield from possibility and a bed in which to sleep. Nothing more than that. But I do still miss her. So, yeah. I love that. So that was when, because I bought that album. I was a fan of Locksmiths, fan of Daniel Kitson. Oh, this is a great surprise. And it was when you would read the liner notes. You'd buy the CD or the record, you'd read the liner notes. And that was a very nice little, oh, this is great. My two worlds, kind of music and comedy, kind of combining. And also tweeness with a bit of like, oh, here's a joke though.
Yeah. I'm not lying in this tension the whole time.
Yeah. Because A Hiccup to My Happiness was actually apparently written because they were at the infamous Daniel Kitson show where he had a breakdown on stage, which I also was at. Me and my friend Zane were at that show where he came out on stage and said, I want to get out of this. How do I get out of this? My girlfriend's just broken up with me. And someone said, pretend you've got diarrhea. And he said, I don't think that's going to work when I fly home to London. And my manager says, what happened? I said, I had diarrhea, so I thought I better get on a 24-hour flight. Seems to have sorted it out. yeah. But apparently the band were there as well. And they wrote that song, Hiccup to My Happiness, about, oh, I think it inspired about the, you know, the heartbreak or whatever. And then, yeah, so they asked him if he could write the liner notes.
Wow. Because, I mean, for people who don't know, Kitson is like, he is the comedian's comedian.
Yeah.
He came over here. You can barely find any of his stuff. I don't think there is any stuff on YouTube of his.
There's only two gala spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's unbelievable. A wordsmith, hilarious. But yeah, it's also now pushed it into other areas.
Yeah.
Than just stand-up.
Although now he's going back to stand-up.
Is he?
Yeah. I think his thing was like, he wants to get rid of all, because he was also famously in Edinburgh would not do Fridays or Saturday nights.
Yes.
Would try and make his shows as hard for cunts to turn up as possible. So he'd have them like at 10 o'clock in the morning. Just going, no one who's had a big night or is drunk is going to be at the show at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Or 10 p.m. You know, doing from 10 p.m. to midnight. And I've been in those shows and gone, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's killer.
So, and then he kind of occasionally would come out to Melbourne, but not be in the guide, but do these shows at the Malthouse. I remember one year though, he's a very nice guy as well. Like, he's not like an
artist. No, he is. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
He once took an ad in the back page of the Green Guide or the EG just saying, hey, my show's already sold out, but go and see these shows, and listed a whole bunch of local shows and other like UK acts that he thought, oh, these people deserve your eyes.
That's so indie.
Yeah, it really is. Because you always see those people, like, I think Tim Vine did this in Edinburgh, just had a huge billboard saying, I'm not doing a show this year. Enjoy.
I mean, yeah. I always think about that because you and I would have grown up on, you know, indie pop and rock in a time when people didn't want to be famous despite the fact that they're really famous.
I know, yeah.
And it does all about this generation's heads in, because now people are like, no, that's exactly what I want, yeah, and I do want to be famous and it'll give me everything that I want.
Which is why I think hip-hop was important for that, because they were coming from a place of, you know, especially in America, of trying to get out. This was their way to get out of the poverty.
Yeah.
And it's only those indie rock kind of bands who actually probably came from a fair bit of, you know, privilege that could go, oh, we don't want to sell out. Yeah, because you know you can always just go back home to your parents' house. So Sonic Youth are a big one for that. Like, oh, but they all come from money. And it's that thing of like, yeah, you still signed to a major label. Like, you're the reason that Nirvana kind of signed to a major label. Because, oh, well, if Sonic Youth can, we can. Like, and so, and it's that thing of like trying to pretend, oh, no, we're not playing the game when you're so much playing the game.
I know. I remember Eddie Vedder at like American Music Awards or Grammys or something like that. And he was up there presenting an award and going, you know, these don't mean anything. Like, yeah, but you're here.
Yeah, exactly.
You're here.
Either play the game or don't play. I was talking to Cam James about this on an episode of this, because when he did Rove's show, the Saturday Night Rove,
yeah,
he thought the Comic King, oh, I can go in and really mess with it. And he goes, no, then you get in there and it's like TV and it's exciting. And I'm like, yeah, I want to. And everyone's been so nice. And yes. everyone's like actually a really good. And all they want is for you to do well. And it's like, yeah, why would I want to like shit on these people and like make them like extra work? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was my number five.
Nice. I believe I actually looked at the things that I brought in this time. I think it's just the same topics as we had last time.
Yeah.
For top five.
Yeah. Last time it was like childhood heroes.
Yeah. Yeah. I really stay in my lane.
Yeah.
This is my brand. But this one's from Groucho Marx. It's just one that always tickled me. It's just that I don't want to belong to any club that will accept me as a member.
Yeah.
Which I looked it up then, and it's like a story his son has told and written in, and it was like either the Friars Club or a tennis club in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And that's how he just wanted to get out of it. Because they got Groucho in, he wasn't enjoying participating and paying the money to be in these clubs, and that was his excuse to get out of it. Which to me is just such a comic also mindset of like, okay, you really want me to know, and I'm sure he did it as a joke, but it's also a reflection of our own egos when you're like, I don't know how you even have it, but early days in comedy, when people come and say, oh, I really like what you're doing, you're like, what, that shit?
Yeah.
Like, horrendous.
My thing with Groucho Marx is it's so funny because, like, you know, when you are dealing with wordplay, which is what he did, like, and I also, in my writing sometimes, when I'm writing songs, it's like word. And then you come across a line and go, that's really clever. And I better look it up to see if this has not been done before. And so often, someone like a Groucho Marx or a Stephen Wright has done it before because it's just wordplay. And it's not like... And so my favorite one of his, which is outside of a book, Dog is a Man's Best Friend, inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. I may have made that up, but it's like that is... Yeah. It's such a good line. And just that thing of... And I think Sean McAuliffe does this really well. It's just that those kind of phrases that you kind of just go around in circles within the phrase.
Mm.
And like, I think Russell Coit is a great one of that as well. I looked up Sean McAuliffe for this, but I couldn't find the one I was looking for. But one of them was like, oh, I can't remember, but there's so many great ones. And also, I don't know if you ever watched the show People Like Us. It was a documentary series, a mockumentary series in like the late 90s, early 2000s, made by the BBC.
Yeah.
And just so many lines like that was just like, just kind of going in and around on itself. And yeah, so good.
I read, because you know, with these kind of things, you look them up, then you get on the website and then you start pouring into it. Like all of these ones, I was like, I'll just pick one out because it's getting ridiculous. There's one that made me laugh that he'd written as someone saying, I picked up your book the other day and I found it endlessly hilarious, and one day I'll read it.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.